I'm going to continue. This will be my fourth message in a row on a Sunday morning on a series that I'm calling the I Ams in the Book of John. The I Ams in the Book of John. I think we're going to have a good time this morning. Young people, let me just have your attention real quickly. And each and every one of you, I'm thrilled that you're here. Many of you have come as a result of the recent youth revival meeting that we had. And I won't be real long this morning, but we do ask you to sit up and listen. I'd ask that you not leave the auditorium. I won't be here in a long time and have you a long time. But when the Word of God's preached, the best thing in the world you can do is give your whole heart, your whole attention to it, because something amazing happens during the preaching of the Bible. Please listen, and this is good for us adults to be reminded of. It's not because I'm special or I'm anything, but the Bible is powerful. And you know, if a man of God stands up and preaches the Word of God, the Spirit of God gets very active during that time. And He'll come to your heart and He'll speak to your heart about some things that maybe only He knows that you need to hear. And so if you'll pay attention, sit up and listen, I think you'll be blessed this morning. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. The Gospel of John, chapter 15. We're going to be preaching on I am the true vine. I am the true vine. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. And for sake of time, let's jump down, if you will, in verse 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. For whatsoever you shall ask in my name, of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for meeting with us. We've already sensed your presence. What a sweet, sweet spirit is in this place. It's always a delight here for us at Blessed Hope Baptist Church when people honor us by coming, visiting our church. I pray that they've been made to feel at home, Lord, and bless them in a special way for putting you, Lord, first on this Lord's Day. Now, Lord, we're going to draw our attention to the Bible. We ask, Lord, that you speak powerfully through your word. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. This will be the fourth week in a row we're taking Sunday mornings to consider the I Ams of the Gospel of John. Jesus used the Greek phrase, I me, which simply means I exist. He did this 55 times in John's account of the life of Christ to send a message to the children of Israel. This term of divine identification was first spoken to a man by God out of a burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am, he said. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Now listen, that's very, very important. Brother Jerry, what does a burning bush experience thousands of years previous have to do with Jesus now as he walks on earth? Because when Jesus spoke, I am, out of the body of flesh, God in the flesh, as he spoke, I am, it was the same person that spoke it back out of the burning bush. You see, folks, what Jesus was trying to get across to them was that he was God. Every time Jesus used this phrase, He sent a divine message. Every time Jesus used this phrase, he was proclaiming his deity. Every time he used this phrase, it incensed the Pharisees and Sadducees who did not want to accept him as their Messiah. When Jesus said, "I am," he was saying, "I exist. I am the one without beginning. I am the one without end. I am the one who self-exists. I am the one who transcends time and eternity. I am the one who created all things. I am the one by whom all things consist. I am Alpha. I am Omega. I am the Almighty, Everlasting, All-Knowing, All-Powerful, Eternal God." Listen to me very carefully. If you are not a student of the Bible, let me share this with you. And I believe those in this room that have studied the Bible will know that this is true. They'll agree with this. But folks, if somebody's tried to sell you a bill of goods and tell you that Jesus Christ was just a man, he just was a wise teacher, he was some kind of a created being or created angel, he had his beginning in Bethlehem's manger, they are telling you a lie. Jesus Christ is the eternal God, a member of the triune God. God come in the flesh. And he came down and took the form of flesh so that he could live a perfect life, die on an old rugged cross. God died for you. God died for me. He was buried 3 days and rose again. He sits down at the right hand of the Father. There is a triune God. One God, three distinct personalities. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You know what? Jesus was that God the Son. He was the I Am. Now the first week, and I won't re-preach these, the first week we saw that Jesus used this term to tell the Jewish people that I am God. The second week we preached on I am the bread of life. The third week, last week, we preached on I am the door of the sheepfold and I am the good shepherd. And this week we want to consider the 15th chapter of John where Jesus uses the I am phrase to introduce himself as the true vine. Look at verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Look at verse number 5. I am the vine. I am the vine. Let's consider today some principles taught here in this chapter. Now, one of the things you'll notice, we talked about Jesus using bread. Jesus used the door to a sheepfold. Jesus used a good shepherd. Now Jesus is going to use a vine and some branches producing some fruit. You know what? He was a master teacher. He used simple things around the people that they were familiar with and interacted with and saw every day. And he would use these parables, these simple illustrations to explain the relationship that he wants to have with us. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." I want to give you some principles as we consider this. We'll be looking hard at John chapter 15. Leave your Bibles open. The first handful of verses there, we're going to squeeze them hard. We're going to squeeze them quick. We're going to get everything we can out of them. And I'm asking God to touch your heart and bless you. Now, let me give you some principles. Let's consider some principles taught here in the I Am the True Vine chapter. Number one, can I ask you to consider the principle of trustworthiness? The principle of trustworthiness. Look, if you will, in that first verse, I am the true vine. Now, he's going to go on down at verse 5 and say, I am the vine. But it's very important that we notice that Jesus says, I am the true vine. Now, we see this also in the other sermons that we've looked at. Jesus didn't just say, I am the bread. He said, I am the living bread. I am the bread of life. He didn't just say, I'm a shepherd. He said, I'm the good shepherd. He doesn't just say, I'm a vine. He says, I'm the true vine. Let me warn all of you of something that's just a fact. You know what? I could take you to the Bible. I could take you to 1 Corinthians and prove it. But I believe for every minister that God calls into the ministry, the devil calls three or four more. And there's a lot of false teachers. There's a lot of false doctrines. And if anybody's pointing you to anything and anybody except Jesus Christ, you mark that person as a heretic. You mark them as a cult. Listen, folks, there's not 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 ways to heaven. There's Jesus. There's Jesus. That's it. There's Jesus. And so I wanted to prevent that. Now, Jesus is saying here, consider my trustworthiness. Realize that you can count on me. Listen, there's charlatans. There's fakes. There's other people out there that's going to point you to different people. But he's saying this. Listen very carefully. He's saying this. I'm the true vine. Now, folks, if you're going to hook into a vine, you ought to make sure you pick the right one. Okay? Joining a religion and hooking yourself to a religion is not hooking yourself to Christ. We don't offer here religion, as you said this morning, brother. We offered a person, Jesus Christ. He's the one I want to introduce you to. He's the one I want you to hook into this morning. Now, Jesus can be trusted. He's just not a vine, He's a true vine. He's just not bread, He's living bread. He's not just a shepherd, He's the good shepherd. And you know what? That's who you ought to hook up with. Now, I want to talk to you also then and have you consider, I think, what is the major teaching of this portion of Scripture, and that is four simple principles that we're going to hit, 1, 2, 3, 4, and we're going to go fast. Number one, I want you to consider the principle of abiding in Christ. The principle of trustworthiness, and then the principle of abiding in Christ. Now, if you will notice, it says in verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, young people, if you look this way, I'm going to explain to you exactly what Jesus is using here. I can almost see him as he teaches this parable. Perhaps he has in the background a grove of olive trees. And he begins to explain to them, if you look at the olive tree, you'll notice that there is vines and then there are branches. Now, the fruit grows off of the branches, but the branches are hooked into the vine. And can I say this? Everything's important in order for it to produce fruit. Now, I'm going to have you, if you will, if you're comfortable doing so, mark your place in John 15. I want you to go back real quickly to Romans chapter number 11. And I want to explain to you what it means to be grafted in. Brother Jerry, how do I become a branch? Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. Is he speaking to the whole human race? Is he talking about everyone? When we are born, are we born a branch? Let me explain to you how we can become a branch on the vine. Romans chapter number 11, if you will, look at verse number 13. Romans chapter 11, verse 13. I'm going to illustrate this in just a minute. By the way, I'm going to go ahead and for you in the tape room, and I'm going to get this turned on here. Let's see. Okay. And I'm using the lapel mic now, so if you'll help me out with that, that's great. Now, Romans chapter 11, verse 13, for I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. Thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. And if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but towards thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Now focus, if you will, on the verse we just read. Let's read it again. Verse 24. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Now, for sake of illustration this morning, I'm going to have you use your imagination a little bit. I want you to imagine that there's an olive tree here, and this is a good olive tree, a good olive tree. Over here is another olive tree, and it is a wild olive tree, wild by nature. Now, what Jesus is saying here, we won't go into a deep study of this, but he's saying this good olive tree represents the nation of Israel, my chosen people. Now, when Jesus came forth, not all of the Jews accepted him as the Messiah. And those that did not, the Bible says, were the branches that literally were broken off. Then the gospel was sent to the Gentiles, and when me and you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, He died on the cross for our sins, was buried, rose again, and that the gospel is now available to the Gentiles, we are part of this wild olive branch tree. And when somebody gets saved, literally, God takes and breaks off a branch from a wild olive tree. That's talking about our wild sin nature. Breaks it off of there, and He comes over to now this tree, which is Jesus Christ, and He does something called grafting. He grafted us in. Now, what does that mean? He would go over to one of the vines or one of the larger limbs, and they would take a knife and they would cut a little slit into it. Then they would whittle down and hone the branch, the end of the branch, into a little bit of a V. They would slide that into the tree. They would bind it up. And you know what? Then that branch would begin to grow into the vine, and the vine would begin to grow into the branch. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, we begin to grow into each other, and pretty soon we looked and acted and participated differently because now we drew life from that good tree. Our nourishment comes from the good tree. We're changed. We have a new start. We have an opportunity to bear good fruit, not wild fruit, good fruit. Now let me just say this. If you spend your life growing on this wild olive tree, and you never recognize that you need to be grafted into the good tree, and you do that by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll spend your life without ever having being grafted in, and you'll never receive Jesus as your Savior, and that's going to affect your eternity. Now, what Jesus was saying to the Gentiles is that some of you have gotten saved, and you were grafted in, don't get high-minded, don't get haughty concerning those Jews that did not. He said, listen, I'd still like to save them. I'd like to graft them back in. And so this vine and branch is talking about, this entire parable that he's using in John chapter 15 is talking about the grafting process, the grafting of the branches. Now, if you will, go back over to John chapter number 15. I have to stop and ask at this point because it's appropriate. It would be wrong for me not to, but I need to ask this. All of us are branches. Are you still growing on the wild olive tree? Or has there been a day where you received Christ as your Savior and God took you from that wild olive tree, trimmed you down, and planted you, inserted you into Jesus Christ? Has there been that day? This is what John chapter 15 is talking about. Notice here the principle of abiding. At one time before I got saved, you know what? All of my nutrition, all of my resources, everything that I was came from my wild sin nature. But all of a sudden now I'm a new person in Jesus Christ. God born me into His family, and now I have a new chance to be something for Him. Now, I like this. Jesus is the vine. We are the branch. Notice here the total dependency of the branch. If you will, notice verse number 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Jesus said, I need you to get to the point where you become totally dependent on me. You know, if you take a branch off of a vine and you break it off and you lay it on the ground. I think Brother Reiser mentioned this the other night in his message. You break it off and lay it on the ground, you know what? You're not going to come back in 3 months and there's going to be fruit on that branch. You know, if you take the branch off of the vine, it's not going to bear fruit. And Jesus is saying, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. The only chance you have of bearing fruit and completing and fulfilling the will of God for your life is to abide in me. You stay in me. You stay with me. Total dependency of the branch. See, Brother Gary, what's Jesus saying here? He wants to be your everything. He wants you to get to the point where every day you wake up and say, Lord, I can't do anything today without you. Well, that sounds, I can't do anything. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Look at verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Nothing. Christians, listen, we've got to get to the point where we don't just get grafted in, but we start growing into Christ and letting Christ grow into us, and we become one with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we begin to rely on Him for all of our nutrition, everything that we need comes from the vine. You fall in love with Jesus. You study the life of Jesus. You emulate the life of Jesus. In fact, you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and you know what? You'll begin the fruit-bearing process. The principle of abiding. What a great partnership God has offered us as branches. What a great partnership has offered the branch to the vine. Jesus wants you to abide in Him. Listen, the difference between Christ in you and Christ and you in Christ. I want to hit this a minute because I think there's a lot of confusion on this. Look at verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. Abide in me and I in you. Look at verse 5. He that abideth in me and I in him. I want to talk now for a few minutes to people that are saved. You know what? I'm going to share a verse with you, and I think you'll agree with it. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now notice, if you will, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what? When you get saved, Christ abides in you. Through the person of the Holy Spirit, Christ abides in you. But you know what? There's a difference between Christ abiding in you and you abiding in Christ. Jesus said, I don't want to just abide in you, I want you to abide in me. Think about that. Let me read you this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be, what's the next two words? In Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I'm going to tell you this. I believe it. I think there's a lot of people that genuinely get saved, and you know what? Christ abides in them. But until you realize that it's not a one-way street, it's a two-way street, you're probably not going to see a whole lot of change in your life. You know when the transformation takes place in a Christian's life? When they realize that we don't get saved just to have Christ as some insurance policy. We got saved so that Christ could abide in us, but then we need to also abide in Him. And that means to allow Him to encompass us and surround us and control us and envelop us and change us and transform us. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are become new. Let me read you John 12:46. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. Should not abide in darkness. See, there's a lot of folks that are abiding, have Christ abiding in them, and Jesus said that's fine, but now you're not supposed to abide in darkness anymore. You're supposed to abide in me. Listen to me. Let me get your attention back up here. Listen to me. What that means is if you're saved, you're supposed to start seeking Christ. You're supposed to start letting Him change your appetites, change your direction, change your wants, and change your likes. And listen, you need to find fulfillment in Jesus Christ. 1 John 2, verse 26, John, the same one that wrote this book, said, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things in His truth and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Now, little children, abide in Him. There's a difference between having Christ abide in you and choosing to abide in Him. And so I want Christ to grow into me, and I want to grow into Christ. Let me just shoot something. I'm going to shoot it, okay? Hold on, let me get ready. Pull! It's one of the dumbest statements that I hear. And I'm not ignorant. I think I understand why people say it, and I'm not mad at you if you've said it. But every once in a while you'll hear, and I think it's humanistic, you'll hear somebody say something like, you know what, you just got to be yourself. Everybody's got to be themselves. You know, don't try to be anybody else. You just got to be you. You got to be you. Well, first of all, that's not a very hard assignment. Okay, here's me being me. Well, I'm going to work this up. That was easy. I'm me. As if that's something to brag at. As if that's some great accomplishment. You know what? I don't think that's biblical. I don't think I'm supposed to be like Jerry Ross. I think I'm supposed to be like Jesus Christ. I don't think I'm supposed to say, well, you know what, I just got to be me. No, I'm supposed to say, I want to be Him. I want to be Him. And the only way I can be Him is if I so integrate my life into His and His life into mine that pretty soon there starts to be some similarities. Pretty soon, there starts to be some of Him that comes through in what I say and what I do. Listen, I don't want to be like me. I know me. I want to be like Jesus Christ. And so, folks, that's what it means to abide in Christ, the principle of abiding, the principle of abiding. Now, let me give you the second thought real quickly, number two. The purging involved in abiding. Look at verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, once you're saved and you've been grafted into the tree, let me say this. You may start to produce some fruit, but the only way that you're going to start to produce more fruit is to be purged. And what that means is very simple. It means to be cut back. You know, a lot of times we see on TV, you know, the orange juice commercials. Okay, and they always show some supposedly orange orchard, and they have these big, gigantic, huge green trees with oranges hanging all over them. They're perfect trees. Well, let me say this. That's not how the best fruit-producing trees look. I drove this past February through Southern California, and we drove for probably 200 miles with nothing but all different kinds of fruit trees and grapes and field after field after field. And you know what? I didn't see anything that looked like a Tropicana commercial. We went to Mexico several years ago, and I got to tell you this story real quick. Not that it has anything to do with the sermon, but I like to tell it. But Carlos Dimmer, he's in heaven. It's a good thing. Because there was a day I was ready to send him there myself. But Carlos Dimmer, we drove and took some of our teenagers down to Mexico, to El Paso, Texas. And Carlos Dimmer got our teens and another group of teenagers from another church on a bus and drove us about 5 or 6 hours into Mexico. First night there, I'm in a foreign country I've never been in. I've got teenagers I'm responsible for. And Carlos Dimmer comes to me and says, "Hey, you and your wife, you can't stay here with the teens at the church. You need to go to so-and-so's house to stay at their house." And I looked at him and I said, I'm thinking, no, I've got to be here with my teenagers. Now, we had other adults, but I felt responsible. No, no, you can't say no. You can't say no. You'll offend them. So I'm like, okay. But I was nervous for sure. What do you think? Well, he says we ought to do it. We probably ought to do it. So me and my wife and another young couple, they put us in their car and they drive us and drive us and drive us. I don't know where I'm at. They drop us off. They pull into this house. The husband can't speak hardly any English. The wife, he actually married a woman that was a German. That didn't help much either. She spoke German, he spoke Mexican, she spoke a little Mexican, he spoke a little German, and all we knew was English. That's not good. But they knew a little English. So me and my wife and this other young couple, we were a little older than them, but a young couple, just been married about a year, we show up at this house. They're very gracious, hospitable, they feed us. It was pretty late at this time, so they said, "Let us show you where you're going to be spending the night." And they took us over to a room and took the whole couple, opened the door, ushered us in this room, and said, "Good night," and shut the door. And we looked, and there's two double beds in the same room. And I look over at my wife. Now, you got to understand, everything's funny to me. I mean, honestly, I've just got to the point in my life, everything's funny. So I look at her. And I look at them, and I look at this situation, I just start laughing. I think it's funny. I start laughing a little, and then the other man's wife breaks into tears. And I thought, maybe I better stop laughing, you know. So I'm like, what do we do? So I'm like, I look at them and say, "Listen, I don't know what's going on. I don't even know how to communicate with these folks. I'll tell you what, I'm going to stay dressed. My wife's going to stay dressed. You guys are going to stay dressed. And we're calling on those covers. We're going to turn the lights out. We're going to bed." And that's exactly what we did. The next morning, I set the alarm real early. I woke up. I reached over and shook the brother. Went over and shook the brother in the other bed and said, "Me and my wife are leaving the room. You guys, it's all yours. Get ready. When you're done, you come back and get up." And so I came out there with my hair sticking all different directions, you know, and slept in my clothes all wrinkled. And, man, they had breakfast and coffee and all this stuff. It was great. Now, the man owned an orange orchard. So while they were getting ready, these young kids were getting ready, he said, "I want to show you guys kind of community." He wanted to show me something. He walked out there, and here is this orange grove. I'm talking about acres and acres of orange trees. And folks, you know what? They were the gnarliest looking things. They were cut back and cut up and went every direction. I mean, go to the apple orchards. You think you're going to have this little picture apple tree? No, you're going to have a cut up, chopped, the best producing apple trees have been pruned and cut and pruned and cut and pruned and cut. And you know what? Let me say this. The best producing Christians have been pruned and cut and pruned and cut and pruned and cut. Listen to what I'm going to say very carefully. I want you to get this. You see, God is not interested in how pretty you are. God's interested in how productive you are. God did not graft you in the olive tree for decoration. He grafted you in for procreation. You know what that means? He wants you to produce fruit. And if he has to chop some things, you know what? Sometimes I think we Christians are putting so much energy in producing pretty leaves, we're not producing much fruit. And God will say, I can just trim back some of them pretty leaves, and all that energy that's going into those pretty leaves will start going into fruit bearing, and that's why I saved you in the first place. He wants you to bear fruit. So we see the purging that's involved in abiding in Christ. Well, Brother Jerry, that sounds great. I want to be taken out of that wild olive tree. I want to be grafted into Jesus Christ so that I can be a new creation, and I want to start producing fruit for the Savior. Well, the first step in doing that is you're going to start getting purged. There's going to be some things that have to be cut out and cut back in your life. And the more we allow Christ to do that, God, listen, don't get mad at God when God comes in with the shears and clips off some things in your life. You know what He's doing? He's not trying to hurt you. He's getting you to the point where you can produce fruit better. I mean this. The Christians that I've known in my life that are the best fruit producers have been the ones that's been trimmed and cut back the most. And you know what? They've let God do it, and they've taken that and accepted that and put increased energy into producing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ. The purging involved in abiding, the product resulting from abiding, God wants you to bear fruit. Can I give you this real quick because it'll get us to the end of our message? You say, Brother Jerry, you can give me anything that's going to get us to the end of the message. All right, let me give it to you. You know what the whole purpose is of this? Christ coming and getting you off that wild tree, grafting you, saving your soul, and grafting you in there. He wants you to produce fruit. He wants you to produce fruit. I'm not going to take the time to study them all out, but if you read what we just read this morning in John chapter 15, if you'll review it, you'll see five stages of fruit production. You'll see some branches that produce no fruit. It's represented in this. You'll see some that produce fruit. You'll see some that produce more fruit. You'll see some that produce much fruit, and you'll see some that produce fruit that remains. That's it. Now, where are you at? I'm talking to saved people now. Where are you at? Where are you at? You see, there are some Christians that produce no fruit. I'm going to speak to them in the last point, but let me just say this. If you live and breathe and take substance from Christ and are a partaker of His generosities in your life, and you never produce anything back for Him, you realize that you put yourself in the danger of elimination? We're going to look at that in a second. But if you are grafted into the tree, if you're grafted into the tree, the result of that, if you take substance and you take nutrition from Christ and you begin to build the relationship with Jesus Christ, what you're going to find out is that even in the newest Christian, usually there's some fruit that's being produced. At least something's being produced. And you know what? I love it when a young Christian says to me, Brother Jerry, God's using me in some ways, but I want Him to use me more. But it also worries me, Brother Neil, because the minute they say that, I know what they're going to have to go through. You see, folks, the grafting process produces some fruit, but the purging process produces more fruit. And then he starts talking about much fruit. Notice, if you will, in verse number 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. You know what I find out? If you look at the life of Christians that are producing much fruit, they are the ones that were grafted in, they've gone through the purging, and you know what? They understand the abiding in Christ principles. You know what? It says here in verse number 8, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. You show me that Christian gets to the point where, you know what? It's not about them anymore. It's just about God. It's not about what what people think about them. It's about glorifying the Father. It's not about how many numbers and how many souls. It's how much can I abide in Christ. And the fruit production is just a natural process that happens from abiding in Jesus Christ. I mean, they become real Christians. I mean, thoroughly. They live it. They breathe it. They talk it. They sleep. Doesn't mean that they never mess. It doesn't mean that they don't have to confess their sins. It doesn't mean that they aren't subject to backsliding like the rest of us. But you know what? They learn a total dependency on Jesus Christ. Jesus becomes everything in their life. And then this fruit that remains, I believe, is the result of a long-term, strong relationship to the vine. You know why you ought to just hang in there as a Christian? Because, you know, I've been saved a few years and it seems like I haven't grown as much. And you know, maybe I'm just being more of a... No. You listen to me. That's the devil speaking. You know why you ought to stay in there? You know why you ought to hang in there? Let me share this with you. Pastor Robert Ross, my father, did not produce as much fruit in the first 10 years of his ministry as he did the last 10 years he pastored this church. You know... that you talk to a Sunday school teacher, you show me a bus captain, long-term abiding in Christ, dying to self, living for others. You know what? It produces fruit that remains. You know the world's not impressed with these flash-in-the-pans that show up and boom, and all of a sudden they're super Christian, and 2 years later they're back in the bar, they're not. You can't even find them in church. What's with that? What's with that? You know what Jesus said? You want fruit that remains? Every single year that a fruit tree matures, the fruit gets better and better and better and better and better. And that's why you ought to just stay with it. I got to end by saying this. There's a penalty of refusing to abide in Christ. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. That's what it says in verse 2. Notice, if you will, verse 6, very startling. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. I want to say this. I don't believe... And there's always a breakdown. I think my dad used to say, you know, parables only, at some point there's a breakdown in every parable, in every story. I'm going to tell you what I believe on that. I don't believe that this is talking about people that are broken off and end up going to hell. I think this is a natural progression of the story of the parable. And listen, my dad's got some fruit trees, I've got some fruit trees. If I go out there and there's a branch on one of our trees, and you know what, year in, year out, it doesn't produce anything, it dies, it doesn't even produce leaves, it just sits there. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trim that thing off, and I'm going to go put it over in the stick pile, and in a little while, they'll accumulate, and we'll have a weenie roast. And I believe this is what it's talked about, Christian. I believe when we stand before God, there's going to be fruitless Christians spent their life not producing fruit, and everything they bring before God, the Bible says, is going to be tested by fire, and it's going to burn up. There's going to be nothing left but ashes there. Now, I want to produce fruit for the Lord, but I can't do it because without Him, I can do nothing. So I want to produce fruit for the Lord if I'm a Christian. I want to make sure, listen, if you're producing no fruit, I'd get on my knees and say, God, what's in my life that I need to fix? I want to produce some fruit. If you're producing some fruit, I'd say, I want to produce more fruit. If you're producing more fruit, then pray, I want to produce much fruit. And if you're even producing much fruit, you know what? Even that, after a while, you start realizing, you know what really I want, God? I don't want just numbers and results. I want people long-term in the ministry. I want lives changed. I want fruit that remains. I want to see people that I've won to Christ 10 years later still serving God. I want something real to happen in their lives. Jesus said, I am the vine, you're the branches. Here's the wild olive tree. I used to be a branch on this wild olive tree. So I began to go to church, hear the gospel, and one day I accepted Christ, and Jesus broke me off of that tree, came over here, and grafted me into the true tree. Now all of a sudden, I'm a branch, and He's the vine. But now that I'm over here, you know what? I've got to decide whether I'm going to abide in Him, just like He's abiding in me. Am I going to grow into Him and let Him grow into me? Because the more I do that, the stronger I'm going to get. And the more I do that, the more fruit I'm going to produce. And if God comes along and says, you know what, there's some problems, there's some reasons you're not producing fruit, and He takes those shears and begins to clip things out of my life, am I going to fight? Am I going to quit? Am I going to say, I'm done with this? Or am I going to say, God, whatever you want to do, you cut off whatever you think you need to cut off so that I can produce fruit. It's not about me, it's about you and your kingdom. And once that's done, am I going to continue that growth process? If you've been saved 20 years, and you were grafted into the tree 20 years ago, you ought to be such a look and produce like such a part of the original tree that nobody even knew you were ever grafted in. Some of you may come here this morning and say, "Oh, Brother Jerry, I just feel a little out of place in church here. You don't understand my background. You don't understand some of the things I've done. You don't understand." Well, let me just say this. You know those people around you that you think are great Christians, good Christians? You know, they were born in a suit and tie. You know, that's how they came out of their mother's womb, you know, with the King James Bible in their hand. If you knew what some of them were 20 years ago, you'd move. You'd get out of that pew and go sit somewhere else. You know why they look the way they do and act the way they do and talk the way they do? You know why there's been such a transformation? Because they spent all these years ago they were grafted in. They spent all these years saying, "I'm going to abide in God, let God abide in me," and they grew and they stuck with it and they began to produce a little fruit, and they said, "God, you know what, I want to produce more. I don't care what you have to do." And sometimes we pray that not even knowing what we're praying. And God comes in and begins to clip some things. What we go through, and let me say this, if you've been through a purging process, a pruning process, I've done it to my trees at home. I've got beautiful ornament trees around our property, but you know why I do? Because every single year I prune them. And every time you cut something off of a tree, you know what? For a while it takes that tree, it sets it back and has to recuperate. And there's some things that come into our life sometimes, and you know what? It's going to set us back for a while, but in the long run it's going to help us produce fruit. And Jesus Christ said to that multitude, "Listen, I'm the vine. I need you to be the branches." Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Let me just say a word to you while we're in a state of prayer here. And let me just have you bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Listen carefully. Has there ever been a day when you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior? If I put you in the car and if we took the time to do this, I could drive you north of Brazil, probably about 45 miles from here, to a little church that used to be called the Rock Run Baptist Church. If we had a key and a way to get into that church, I could walk over to a place and I could probably stand within 2 or 3 feet of where I knelt down as a young man. Came in lost, didn't know anything much about the Bible, sat there for a while, listened to preaching. God convicted my heart that I was lost. The day I walked forward, preacher knelt down, took the Bible, and I called upon Jesus and asked Him to save me. Have you ever had that happen? If not, you're still growing on that wild tree. "Well, Jerry, I'm trying to produce good fruit. I want to be a different person." Yeah, but you've got to change trees. Turn over a new leaf and just decide you're going to try to do better. No, it has to be a new birth. You have to become a new creature. Jesus is going to have to break you off and graft you in. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been saved? Preacher, if I was to die right now, I'm not sure what would happen to me. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what would happen to me. But I'm concerned about it. I feel like God's at least dealing with me about it. By the way, I don't embarrass people in our church. I won't call your name. I won't come get you. I promise. We don't do that here. But if you'd be honest with me, I would like to pray for you. I'll do that in just a minute. Again, I won't call your name, but I want to pray for you. Say, "Preacher, if I was to die right now, I don't know if I'd go to heaven or not. I'm concerned about that. I feel like God's dealing with my heart some about that. Preacher, I don't know that I'd go to heaven if I was to die. Would you pray for me?" Just pop your hand up. Let me pray for you. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I don't know for sure. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, preacher. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. 2 hands. Thank you very much. "I don't know, preacher. I'd like to know that for sure. Would you pray for me, preacher?" Anyone else? Anyone else? God bless you, buddy. God bless you. Anyone else? God bless you on the back there. I see your hand. God bless you. Anyone else? So the Lord's certainly spoken to tender hearts this morning. Let me say a word to the Christians, and then I'm going to pray for these people because I promised them I would. Let me say a word to the Christians. Listen, folks, we can be grafted in, but what we need to do is make sure that we're truly abiding in Christ. Not just Christ in us, but us in Christ. Let yourself grow into the Lord. Grow up in the Lord. Let Him grow strong in your life. Let Him have His way and His will with you. Because only then will you begin to produce fruit that remains. How many say, "Preacher, I'm saved, but I needed to hear that this morning. God touched my heart." Would you raise your hand? God touched my heart. I needed to hear that this morning. I'm saved, but God did something in my life. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Heavenly Father, I want to pray for these four. I promised them I would. I raised their hand and said, "You know, I don't think I've ever been saved." And Lord, I want to make that decision for them because I love them and I want to see them saved. But God, I can't do that and I shouldn't do that. But I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts very strongly this morning. Woo them to yourself. Convince them how much you love them. Lord, bring them under the conviction of sin. And Lord, I pray that you'd help them to receive you today, to just be saved today. In a few minutes, when we give the invitation, Lord, I pray that you speak to their hearts. Help them to step out, come forward, and let us get someone to take the Bible and show them how to be saved. Don't let them leave lost today. Now, Lord, do that rebirth work in their lives for these Christians that raise their hand. I can certainly raise my hand with them. Lord, when I was studying this out, you taught me so many things, and you convicted me about some things. And Lord, I want to abide in you. I want to be strong in you. Not just have you strong in me, I want to be strong in you. Lord, I want to produce not just some fruit, but more fruit and much fruit and fruit that remains. So I pray that you'd perform that miracle in my life and in these that raise their hands. They need something from heaven.